All right, here it is. Another episode of Let There Be Talk. It is Monday, of course, September 14th. Welcome aboard. Fantastic episode today. It's the return of Corey Taylor. Slipknot, Stone Sour, and now his solo record coming out October 2nd, CMFT. He's got three videos, three singles out there right now, three different songs. All of it sounding great, and I was fired up to talk to him about it. He's got a rock record coming out, and I think you guys are going to really, really like this new music from him. Too bad that we won't be able to see him play some live action, but I talked to him. He's thinking of some ways to do that, so I'm looking forward to hearing what he comes up with. Corey has been a fantastic friend. I've only known him, I guess, about a year. The first time he came on was when I was in Vegas doing shows at the Las Vegas Comedy Cellar. He came over to the hotel there, sat down for a couple hours, and it was a fantastic episode. So if you haven't heard the first Corey Taylor episode, go back and dig that up, and then dig into this one. They're both fantastic. This one, I got to give you a heads up, has some wobbly sound. Stick with it, though. It's a great conversation. And, you know, I'm dealing with Zoom. It's funny. Like, I'll record two or three episodes on Zoom, and it's pretty good. And then there will be one that's, like, clunky. If anybody's got any recommendations on that, email me, deandelray@yahoo.com. Just trying to I'd like to immediately figure out how to go to the next level of sound. I tried Squadcast, and that was kind of clunky, a different company Squadcast. So if anybody's got some recommendations, I'm doing everything I can. I've got a Shure SM7. I got a Focusrite preamp. I've got the Cloud Lifter. I'm doing all kinds of stuff on my end, but you just never know. You're kind of a slave to the Zoom app and what's going on with them that day, or your internet. But yeah, if you got a recommendation, let me know. I've just keep searching that out. I'm such an audio geek. I'm constantly trying to get the perfect sound. But this Corey episode is great. We dig into the new record, talk a lot about life right now and what's happening during the COVID era. I want to give a shout out to some of the brand new Patreoners. Welcome aboard. I've got a Patreon. It's at patreon.com/DeanDelRay. 90 bonus episodes so far, and every week I've been doing a little Zoom fest where all the Patreoners can join me on Zoom and we talk all kinds of stuff. Records, food, movies, you know, fucking car, anything you want to talk about, it comes out and it's fun. I've been enjoying that and I've kind of needed it. I've been in a goddamn funk. I don't know, yesterday I woke up, man, and it was dark thoughts in the head, and it comes and goes. I gotta constantly battle that. I can't really exercise too much outside because of the fires. I can't even breathe outside right now, so I'm staying in and trying to exercise as much as I can. But I do enjoy getting out and hiking every day, like 5 miles, and I haven't been able to do that. I can tell the difference. My brain starts to get moody, and it's a bummer, man. It is a bummer, but I'm handling it, and I just try to stay positive. But patreon.com/DeanDelRay, new Patreoners, fantastic, fantastic Del Raisers. Thank you for joining up. Bobby McLean is just killing it. Thank you, Bobby. I mean that, man. John Horbeck, JR, Ren, Alex, a lot of single name people this time. Sean Davison, how are you, buddy? And Vinny, all of you, I love all of you. Thank you for supporting the Patreon and this podcast. I'm constantly trying to put out a great show for you guys. That's all I really focus on right now, is just a smoking podcast and getting great guests. I got some really cool stuff coming up. What else we got? Oh, speaking of in a funk, I tell you what really has helped me nonstop is CBD from my fantastic sponsor, CBD Lion. This stuff works, I'm telling you. I cannot tell you how many people email me constantly and say, oh man, I used the lotion, I was having some wrist pain and it's gone. My back was hurting, or I'm moody like you, Del Rey, and I've been using the tinctures. The tinctures definitely work. They help me with anxiety and sleep. They got fantastic gummies, hemp flower, all this great stuff, and you get 20% off when you use the code DEAN, D-E-A-N, at cbdline.com. Use the code DEAN and take advantage of this fantastic 20% off deal. Bath bombs, poof. Drop that shit in the bathtub and just chill. CBD patches, just, you got a painful spot, you throw this patch on, you don't have to deal with lotions. Sports tapes, these guys are killing it in the CBD world. Third-party tested, family-owned, none of that bullshit 7-Eleven fucking CBD. This is clean, real-deal CBD from the great CBD Line. Use the code DEAN at checkout. Get 20% off. I can't thank CBD Line enough for supporting and sponsoring the podcast. So get your CBD from these guys, man. Don't go anywhere else. CBDLion.com. All right. I want you guys to have a great week. I'm about to head to the dentist right now. And first time since COVID. And dirty mouth. Just fucking, I got to get in there, man. My mouth needs some cleaning. These teeth are nasty. Don't forget Corey Taylor's new record, solo record, CMFT, out October 2nd. Check out his videos and enjoy the episode. I love all you guys. Keep the candles lit. All right, man. Here we are. The return of Corey Taylor. What is happening, buddy, on Let There Be Talk?
Episode 2. God, the last time I saw you, the plague wasn't happening.
Yeah, we were in Vegas. Bill Burr and I were doing comedy, and you came down and had a great time. And then we were going to go drive the cars at Dream Racing, but you had just moved or something was going on. But anyway.
I had the kid. I had to go pick the kid up. Like, it was a lot going on that day. But I was like, you know, we're definitely coming to the show, but I couldn't stick around. I really wanted to, too, man. It was a bum out.
Yeah, well, we'll get back out there on the track one day, but man, it's so, you know what I was thinking about? Like, you guys are the original mask wearers. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, my whole thing was people complain. I there was that meme going around, like, people complaining about a mask. It's like, Corey wears one for 3 hours on stage playing metal.
Yeah, they keep asking me to do those PSAs too, and I just laugh. I'm like, shit, yeah, dude, I don't care.
Yeah,
but there's a part of me that also is like, look, there's a part of me that's such a dick that I almost want anti-maskers to catch it, just to prove a point. I'm like, you want to be ignorant? Go ahead. It's like the anti-vaxxers, man. They're the same fucking way. It's like, oh, you don't believe in shit like that? Okay, go ahead. Fucking, you know, ostracize your kid. You know, let your kid get sick. Let your fucking kid, like, you know, like, basically get kicked out of school, kept away from other kids. It's just, it's ignorance controlling shit and people trying to disguise belief as fact. And it's such fucking horse shit, man.
It's really crazy how it's become political, you know? That's what's bizarre to me, where people are just like, you're taking my freedom. It's like, what are you talking about here, dude?
What? This is about fucking keeping people safe. Not just you, you dickless wonder. What the fuck is wrong with you? But then again, man, you know, and it's because of who's at the wheel. All because of that fucking gumless shithead who can't fucking figure his shit out. So, yeah, but I look, what we can talk about, dude, you and I could go for hours on that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I woke up today and of course there was all this Corey Taylor clickbait shit about, you know, Slipknot guys are miserable. Fuck them. Not recording like that ever again. Instantly people. It's funny because I kind of understand exactly what you're talking about. As far as I was talking to Troy from Mastodon, I was talking to Kirk Hammett about this. When you start a band with guys 20, 25 years ago, you're all different people. Your kids wanting to go for it, different politics, different drug uses, different all that stuff. And later in life, you're like, whoa, I don't really know these guys, but we're in business together, you know?
Yeah, no, it's exactly it, man. You know, and it's like, it's hard because sometimes you want more than anybody to get back to that place where you're all on the same page and you're all fucking just, you know, for the music and just having a great fucking time. And look, man, some people's lives just don't fucking swing that way anymore, man. And you can't force that. They can't force me to record their way any more than I can force them to enjoy what we do, you know? And it's just, that's just life. And for a long time, it was hard for me, man. Like, I really fucking struggled with it. And then you just get to the point where you accept it. You have to, you know? It's just like, you still love those people for who the fuck they are. But sometimes it's not enjoyable. The music is still pretty fucking dope, but it's a struggle to get it done, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, it becomes what I always say, the machine.
Right.
When you're that big, say you guys, Metallica, Mastodon, these guys are machines and there's so much going on in each person's life. Each person might have 2-3 kids. They might have a mortgage. They might have some depression or right. some kind of shit. And it's just a olive branch all over the place. And you just kind of like, this is what it is. I'm walking into like, not just the 4, 5, 6 guys you play with, but their whole lives.
Yeah, there's a lot of baggage that comes with it, you know. And God knows people in the band have dealt with my baggage over the years, you know. So like, I'm no fucking saint here. Like, I'm not trying to paint myself as, you know, the high and mighty guy shaking his stick going, I remember when it used to be a fucking whatever, you know, that dumbass shit. We've all been through a lot. We've all gone through a lot. We all, you know, it's like you said, man, it's life. But at the same time, there's a great thing that happens when we're on the road. Is there's always a moment during the set when we all kind of look at each other and we get that feeling again, you know? Like, whether it's like a song or like a certain moment that we always do the same thing, where we all kind of come together and do something cool in that moment, we're all reminded of the connection, man, you know, the brotherhood that we still have, you know. And it doesn't have to be kumbaya and fucking eating s'mores and shit, but at the same time, it's like, you know, we've been through hell for, you know, almost 25 years and we're still here. So it's, you know, we may complain, I may complain, but I mean, it's still pretty fucking amazing what we've accomplished.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, the people that say, you got nothing to complain about, it's still life.
Yeah. People, you know, sure. It's my fucking ass when they say that shit.
I know, it's like, sure. There's platinum records and money and success, but it's still fucking life, you know?
You still spend a giant amount of time away from your kids. You miss huge parts of fucking family life You know, you're not there for weddings, you're not there for birthdays, you're not there for funerals. I mean, it's fucking tough, man. You know, in a way, it's a truncated version of people who are deployed. You know, I'm not talking about the ones in fucking combat. I'm talking about the ones who are deployed at bases. You know, even just in fucking in allied, you know, territory. It's a lot like that. You know, we get to go home more often, but it's large chunks of time spent away from the people who you love, and it sucks sometimes.
Yeah, I get it, man. How you been doing, man, during the COVID? Like, you're in Vegas,
right?
And I know Vegas kind of opened back up for a while. What's happening?
And then it burned up again because our mayor's a dipshit. You know, this thing's gonna fucking, it's gonna keep doing that until it evens out, man. You know, it's gonna keep doing that until we get a vaccine, to be honest, or at least something that can prevent. You know, Vegas is it's up and down. You know, there's still a bunch of fucking mooks with no masks on at the casinos. And they were actually, you know, the people who were there, you know, tourists or, you know, visitors or whatever, were giving shit to people who were wearing masks. And that was enough for me to just go, you know what, man, fuck you. Yeah. You know what? It's like, you know, not everything has to be a political fucking statement. What if these people are just, you know, it's better to just be cautious, you know, it's better to be smart. You know, you want to walk around with no fucking mask on, you go ahead and spin the barrel and let's see how many times you can click it. But these people who are actually trying to be preventive, you know, there's no reason for you to give them a rash of shit. They weren't fucking saying anything to you. It's just ridiculous, man, you know? And that's the shit that people aren't talking about, is the fact that some people are just minding their own fucking business and a bunch of garbage fucking falls out of people's faces. And it just keeps the fucking wheels spinning. Maybe if we all just kind of kept some shit to ourselves, maybe shit would fucking quiet down.
Yeah, man. Social media is just fucking...
ridiculous. Yeah, dude. It's just people open their fucking computers and just go... And it's just like, ugh. That's why I'm still... Like, dude, I got off of it, 6, 7 months ago?
I remember.
Yeah, dude. I've never looked back. I've never felt better about a decision in my life. Wow. I'm done. I still have a buddy of mine doing it for me, and it's like, so it's still out there, and I'm still using it, and I still, every once in a while, I'll send something for him to post on my behalf or whatever, but yeah, man, I'm done. I'm done with that shit. I don't care.
I love it. I love it. How are you liking living in Vegas? Because I know a lot of people in this point of COVID are looking at other areas. A lot of people mass exiting out of California, a bunch of people moving to Vegas. Are you still liking it out there?
I love it here, man. Yeah. I mean, I've lived here for about 11 years now. And, you know, it's a cool place where there's a bunch of stuff to do. But you don't have to go too far to do some stuff, and the local stuff is actually pretty rad, you know? Like, so, you know, my area where I'm at, I'm actually just off the 15 heading out of town. So I'm in an area that's quiet, like pretty quiet and just kind of laid back and stuff. But if I go 10 minutes, call it west, or excuse me, north, I'm hitting the jackpot. Like, there's, like, you know, restaurants. There's still, you know, I'm right down the street from the Bootlegger, which is,
I know it.
You know that place, right? I mean, it's the shit. So, yeah, I mean, that's, once you get the layout and really kind of figure out and sort out where everything is, it's really easy to get to, you know? But so many different parts of Vegas look the same. Like, they all have that, walled, like, you know, neighborhoods and shit. And you go, God, that looks like just like that place off Maryland Parkway. Like, what the hell is going on? Like, you got to kind of like memorize the grid. But it's nowhere near as fucking bad as LA is. Jesus Christ. Ugh.
Now let's get into the solo record here. A couple couple singles out right now.
Yeah,
both of them totally different. Black Eyed Blue is crazy hook in there, buddy. Crazy good hook on that chorus, man.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that song. You know, when I was putting this together, like there were some songs that were completely finished that I'd had for about 15, 20 years or so. And then there was a handful of stuff that I'd been working on musically and I hadn't really finished off, you know. So Black Eyes Blue started out, its name was just Clash Ripoff. That's all it was called for the longest time. So I'd pull that up and I'd go, God, someday I got to write lyrics to this, you know. And then... As everything started to kind of really pick up, I started writing about me and Alicia going to London for the first time together, you know, and it's really about seeing things through somebody else's eyes for the first time that you've maybe taken for granted now, you know.
I get it, because you've been to Europe 20 times and you forget the elegance and the radical of the architecture and the landscape.
You know, I can, and in seeing that, it reminds you of the first time you went and the first time you really got to take it in and how much like it affected you, you know, and you go, oh yeah, like this is some serious shit that I get to do, you know? So enjoying that with her was just such a great connection for us that I just wanted to write about it, you know? And that kind of is the theme for that tune, you know, it's very autobiographical. It's just about traipsing around, having a fucking blast with, you know, not only, you know, your wife, but somebody you consider to be like your best friend, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty damn cool. All right.
Yeah. I mean, especially after all the shit that I've been through. Yeah. It's very fucking cool, dude.
Now, how did, first of all, I'm fucking bummed I didn't do the video. I was asked to do the video.
Right.
And it was during COVID, like the heat of the COVID. Now we're used to COVID.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, now we're like, oh yeah, I understand COVID now.
Right, exactly.
But that was, if I go outside, does it land on me and I just die?
You know? Yeah, it was right around the time we were all washing our groceries in the sink.
Oh my God.
Some cereal completely soggy. What the hell's going on? It's so weird, you know. It's I mean, God, it's, you know, you think back to the shit that people were doing, and now obviously it's calmed down a little bit, but we're still fucking learning about it, man. It's crazy.
Oh yeah.
You're talking about CMFT, right?
That was
one of those things where I was just trying to get all my friends and a bunch of people together to do something fun and cool. And yeah, I kept telling her, I was just like, you fucking got to get a hold of Delray and fucking figure this shit out.
It sucks, man. Because what happened was they emailed me, they said, here's the stuff. And, I'll tell you guys, if you saw the video, it's got a bunch of cameos because of COVID. Nobody could be in the same room. So you just lip sync in your house.
Right.
And in the middle of it, I had just moved during COVID, moved into an apartment, found out 3 days in that the guy next door smoked like a chimney, which is illegal. Now I got to fucking move. There's cigarette smoke coming into place. And I'm just panicking, freaking out. And then I realized on the Monday, fuck, I forgot to send in this. And as corny as this might sound, I was honored. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool to be on Corey's video. This is going to be rad. And then I just, my brain was like, it was a rare fumble. And then I see all the guys on it and I'm like, fuck, Rob Halford?
Yeah, dude, that was unexpected. Like, let's put it that way. Like, not only him, but Manson, who doesn't do that shit.
Yeah, Manson.
He hit me up and he was just like, he's like, all right, I'm filming my stuff today. what I'm going for this kind of look. And I'm just going, I'm like, you put way too much thought into this, homie. I love you, but you are losing it. Like, but in his defense, it looked fucking killer, you know? And then you got Ronnie, who's just in front of a fucking green screen in his fucking Twitch room, you know? But that's Ronnie too, you know? So I was just stoked to have so many people in there. Not only were friends, but people I looked up to, obviously Rob, Nikki, you know, just, it was fucking rad, dude. And it really, I think it got people as excited, not only for the video, but for the song as well, because it has that kind of contagious energy to it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know Tech N9ne is on the song, and yeah. and thanks for hooking me back up with Tech N9ne. Tech N9ne is the only episode I ever lost in the 545 episodes.
That's fucking crazy, man. Is this because he was talking too fast? I mean, he's got a delivery, dude.
No, what happened was he was recording a metal record with Ross Robinson in Venice.
Right.
So I went over, and we did it on one of the vocal breaks in the kitchen. And about 40 minutes in, somebody walked by and unplugged the recorder. And I had no idea at the time, if you unplug a Zoom, it's gone, because unless you have batteries in it, because you need the digital front and digital back.
Yeah. See, I ran into that with my Apple show, a series of bleeps. I had that happen. And I looked down and I'm like, I looked at my guests and I just went, you're never going to fucking believe this. Didn't get any of that. And yeah, so I feel your pain on that. It's fucking brutal.
And what was really amazing was the fucking knowledge Tech N9ne had of classic rock. I don't know if you talked to him about it.
Well, he's a massive fan of so many different styles, you know. And I wonder if that's because he grew up in KC. Right. You know, and for whatever reason, the Midwest really is kind of a catch-all for all kinds of different styles of music, not only on the radio, but like everywhere, you know? And you just don't get that on either coast. You don't get that in like some of the bigger cities. They've really shut down like a lot, like the variety of music and shit. So especially going back that long, you know, this was before really satellite or fucking, you know, or streaming or anything like that. So he was exposed to so many different types of music. But I mean, plus he was coming to Slipknot shows when he was young, man, you know? So he was like so into it.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
I've recently dove back into 88.5. You can get it on Apple app. And that's the independent. It's a college station here in LA.
Okay.
I knew about it years ago. Just kind of one of those things you forgot about. But I've been listening to college radio lately in the last month. And I realized that's where I got all my music knowledge growing up, man. These guys would play the gamut. Willie Nelson.
They play everything.
Yeah. Into like, you know, say Jane's Addiction, into like some crazy Miles Davis. And, right. You know?
Yeah.
And you really get this thing and tons of new bands, so many that it's tough to keep up with.
Yeah, dude. It's, you know, it's a crapshoot sometimes for me when it comes to newer music, because it's either derivative or boring as whale shit, you know? And it's, for me, I'm such a snob and such a cynical prick that I have a hard time giving, like, props to anybody. But it's when you do hear something dope, you go, oh dude, that's really, really good. So yeah, it's weird.
Absolutely. Now, the guys that played on the record were the dudes that I sat in with you when we were on that solo tour.
Those guys plus Tooch.
Okay.
So, well, you didn't, I don't think you played with Dustin though. Because
I played with the bass player and the guitar player, I know for sure.
Yeah. You played with me, Zach, and Jason. Brandon was originally going to do the drums, but then he got the Manson gig, actually.
That's right. I saw that.
For Horror. Great kid, great drummer, really fucking talented. And he hit me up and he was like, freaking out because we were still like, it was right on the cusp of really figuring out when we were going to record this, or we were going to start putting this together. And Brandon was like, you know, I've got this Manson gig. I was like, dude, go do it. I've got Slipknot going on. Like, I've got all this shit. And then it really kind of came down to making a choice. And I knew that as much as I loved Brandon's playing, not only was he, you know, unavailable, but there's a style that Dustin plays that really Brandon isn't there yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that just comes with age. It was really kind of like, it was a tough choice for a hot second. But then I told Brandon, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with Dustin. I've jammed with him for years. I'm very confident in what he can do. And he's really kind of an underrated drummer in a lot of ways, man. People know him from his hardcore days. You know, he played with Premonitions of War, played with Walls of Jericho on their last, like five albums, something like that. He's an incredible drummer, like, that really is unsung, you know? You played with Jason, who's my best friend, plays bass. He's done all my acoustic shows with me. Yep. Zach, who people would know from playing with Pearl and her band, you know, and also just a million other fucking gigs, dude. He was an old actor.
That's right.
Yeah, dude. He co-wrote the song for The Heights. You remember that song?
Yeah.
You talk to an angel. I keep threatening to put that in the set. He fucking freezes like, Taylor, don't do it, dude. I'm like, fuck you. I'm going to do it. But, yeah, incredibly gifted. Such a good fucking gut and such a great hang. And then to round everything out, we got Tooch from Stone Sour, who we've all played with in one way or another. And me and Jason have been playing with Tooch for fucking years, you know. And it's a conglomerate that had never really played together, but I knew it would all fucking work, you know. And sure enough, dude, the second we started rehearsing, dude, it was like fucking bomb went off. And it was just on, you know.
Yeah, we went to eat after we jammed and we rehearsed. We did an AC/DC song and we went to Toy Tie and we had a night there. And it really reminded me of the old days of playing music, hanging with the band, good vibes, talking The Clash, talking Bon Scott.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why those guys were chosen, was because of their ability to just hang. Like, They have no drama. Well, Jason has, but everybody else has no drama. We all love just hanging out together. You know, we all just give each other shit. We fuck with each other fucking constantly. And it's just such a great hang, you know. And we all are very, very confident in each other's abilities.
Now, did you write all the songs or any co-writing or what's going on?
Yeah, I wrote every song except Everybody Dies on My Birthday, which was a co-write with me and Tooch. Tooch brought the music and I arranged it and I wrote the lyrics for it. So, but everything else on the album I wrote.
And where'd you guys do the record? Home studio?
No, we did it at the Hideout here in town, which is Kevin Churko's place. It used to be the Audio Warehouse, which I'd worked at a couple of times. I recorded a couple of my audiobooks there, done some demos. It's actually where I did the vocals for the Zach Wild track that I did a few years ago. Kevin ended up taking that place over and making it the new Hideout. So everybody kind of works there, everybody from Hell Yeah to Five Finger, like a bunch of different bands. And we were just lucky enough to be able to kind of get into the studio right when the regulations kind of lifted, you know, like everything was kind of on lockdown. And then the about a week before we were scheduled to go in, everything lifted and we were good to go, but we still quarantined, and social distanced from everybody.
Wild, man. Squeezed it in right in there. How quick did you do the record?
We did 25 songs in 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
Fucking killed it, dude. I mean, we were finishing a song a day. And I mean, we did all original, like all 13 originals that are on the album first. And then we took about 3 days. We did, what, 7 covers? And then we went back and we did 5 acoustic versions of the 13 that we did. So, yeah, I mean, we just killed it.
And what's the flavor of the, is it all over? Because the 2 singles are completely different. Is it all over the board?
It's pretty varied, but the soul of it is that kind of kick-ass hard rock, you know? Like, there are some heavier moments, but nothing completely heavy. There's a bunch of fucking, like, rock moments. There's a jazz moment here and there, but it's all rock. It's all, like, fucking really grounded in that old school kind of, for lack of a better term, that FM rock kind of vibe, you know? Big choruses, big riffs, big fucking fun. Everything was recorded live for the most part, with the exception of the vocals and a couple of overdubs here and there. You get everything from rockabilly to punk to like some southern rock, some Alice in Chains vibes. I mean, it's fucking, it's rad, but it's very cohesive. It all works together and it flows together so well that you listen to it and you believe it because it's the same band playing it, you know?
Southern rock. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, man. I mean, there's a couple of songs you'll dig. I think you specifically will dig Halfway Down because it has a Bon Scott, AC/DC vibe to it, you know, and I don't have his range, but it's in that realm. You know what I'm saying? And, it's kind of my homage to them because they're one of my favorite bands. But there's a song called Silverfish, which is actually, the way I describe it is if Alice in Chains started in Atlanta.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fucking rad. Yeah, it's really, really cool.
I've been rocking some Outlaws lately, like nonstop.
No shit.
Yeah, dig into that, man. It's crazy how many hits they have and right. How great they are.
Right. Yeah, I have to check that out.
Yeah. Southern rock, man.
Dude, I tell you what, man, there's some greasy shit in there that, like, people forget, you know? Like, everybody, anytime people talk about Skinner, they only think about the first 2 songs that come to mind, which are the hits. And then everything after that, like they don't even get into the real shit, like That Smell, and Gimme 3 Steps, and just all that greasy fucking, like, Simple Man, the original Simple Man, which is so fucking good, you know?
Yeah.
It's great shit, man. That whole Jacksonville, Florida fucking vibe was so good at the time.
That documentary is incredible, man.
Yes, it is. It's really good.
Just go. Those guys went in each day, rehearsed 10 hours a day in that swampy little shack and laid it all on the ground.
Yeah. Didn't fuck around, dude. It was so good. It's killer.
I tell you what, man, that band. I don't look, you got Freebird and you got Stairway to Heaven by Zeppelin. And as much as they're played in this world, I still never get tired of them because you're like, these guys wrote masterpiece songs, these 2 right. songs, forever.
Yeah, and they probably will, dude. I mean, they will last well beyond us. I mean, it's fucking, think about the songs that the Beatles have written that will last long beyond us. I mean, they're going on 3rd generation now, which is fucking insane. It's crazy.
It's a lot like Slipknot and Metallica too. They got the second generations coming in now, and
yeah.
And it just keeps that AC/DC. They got like 3 generations.
Dude, it's, you know, it's. I think the key comes down to never really following what is established. You know, always kind of cutting your own path. Which is always the hardest, but the payoff is so much better because nobody else knows where you're going, but you do, you know? So when you're cutting the path, you have to fucking lead it, but then everybody else can follow behind you, you know? And I mean, surely Metallica has to be in there, you know? I mean, they took the beauty, the darkness of Sabbath, and kind of married it with, you know, the hardcore punk of the day, you know? It basically, to me, Metallica is Sabbath mixed with Black Flag and some Minor Threat. A little more on the Sabbath side, but with Danzig hooks, because he was such a fucking massive Misfits fan, you know? Yeah. I think Hetfield's just such an unsung singer. Everybody talks about his riff writing, and yet he's a fucking great fucking singer too, man. Like, when he really goes for it, especially in the day, he was killer, dude.
Oh, dude, I mean, when you look at him on the Justice Tour, because that's like, by then, he's just this behemoth of this. He's got this character.
Untouchable, bulletproof, just a fucking machine that will just destroy everybody in front of you, you know?
Oh, my God, man. That's a front man right there. And that right hand, just dude, playing and singing.
Dude, his wrist is ridiculous. Like, I watch him sometimes and I go, how is he playing that and singing it? Like, just fucking stupid. One or the other, and I can't even get close, you know?
It's so nuts. Now, did you play all the rhythm guitar on this record?
Yeah, we all played together. Zach and Tooch would kind of divvy up the solos and whatnot, but we were all playing the meat of everything. So you got this great... You know how the old school guitar players would have like a collage rhythm where there were like three different, two or three different rhythms going on at the same time, and it almost fit together like a patchwork. But the three guitars were doing different things, and yet they complemented each other so much that if you take one out, it sounds wrong, you know? And that's kind of what we were doing. It's like I was laying down a lot of the meat, and Zach was doing like more full chord stuff and really kind of fleshing stuff out and adding top end. And then Tooch would ghost in between like rhythm stuff and like just lines, like melody lines and shit that would just fucking tie everything together. It was so cool to hear come together, dude. And we were just like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, I love that kind of, I remember when Jimmy Page was playing with the Black Crowes and they had three guitars. He's like, wow, I can finally hear all three parts on stage.
Right, yeah, it's killer, dude. It's the thing that you hear, like you see is missing from a lot of cookie cutter bands that don't have that depth and don't have the intricacy that goes on when you're playing with like full chords and things and really looking at him almost as a like an orchestral vibe, you know? But everything has its place.
Well, there was that era where everybody was just open tuning and just bar chord and
right.
This is heavy, and it's like but after a while you need some coloring.
Yeah, dude, you gotta be able to play with some of the octaves. You gotta be able to kind of augment, and like it's to me, if it's just one note stuff only works in certain styles, and then after that, you know, outside of that it just gets boring. You're just like, it's like, where's the vibe? Where's the heart in this, man?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the record comes out in October, right?
Yeah, October 2nd. And actually, I'll let you know, I'm not sure when this is going to go out, but in 2 days, maybe 3 days, we're dropping another tune. Like, we're adding like a, it's called an instant gratification tune. And it's actually the first track on the album. It's called Highway 666. And it is fucking balls out, dude. It's really, really rad. It's like if the Charlie Daniels Band was rocking with Thin Lizzy, and then all of a sudden Pantera jumped in for some riffs. Like, it's fucking, it's righteous, dude. It's really, really good.
That's great, man. And you got a video for it?
Just a lyrical video. We're keeping the main videos to really just the singles releases and stuff. This one, we kind of went all out with the lyric video and added some animation, some cool like comic stuff, and yeah, it's going to be really cool.
What is the game plan of the music business these days, since I haven't been in it for so long? Do you just slowly release every song till the record's out? Is that how it's done now?
I don't know. From my standpoint, we kind of do a little of both, you know? Like, we ostensibly have, like, a handful of songs that we know that we want to put out to entice people to come in, you know? And then, you know, and that's completely different from the singles game, which, you know, is all really kind of towards radio, really kind of towards, I don't want to say streaming, but, you know, stuff like that. It's, I know in the pop world, they will either do a trickle or a complete blast. Like, there's no buildup or whatever. They just kind of drop the whole thing. But for, you know, on our side, it's better to do both sides of the coin, because you maintain the fan base that, in like me, that enjoys getting a physical copy, enjoys the wait, enjoys the anticipation, likes going out and, like, you know, like getting like piece, like bits and pieces here and there, and then listening to it in its entirety. But then you also get the, you know, almost like this vibe of like, okay, and this song's awesome, I'm gonna fucking listen to this for 2 weeks, and then I'm gonna get another one that's gonna drop, and then that will get me to the release itself, you know? So it's really kind of a matter of what works for you, you know? That's honestly the best thing about the state of the music world that we're in, is that you can really customize a plan to anything that you want to do, you know? When we were getting this album ready, Black Eyes Blue, to me, was the clear single, and yet the label loved CMFT so much that they were like, we want to do a two-song blast. We want to drop Black Eyes Blue for radio, but we want to do CMFT as like a culture track, you know, like a fucking vibe track. And I was like, at first I was struggling with that because it's an old way of thinking for me. And then I went, you know what? That's actually, it's a fucking cool idea. And that will help further the idea that just when you think you know what the album sounds like, you don't. So it actually worked in our advantage, and it added a whole other dimension to how we could promote it and how we could talk about it and how we can get people's interest and really get it out there, you know?
Well, yeah, right away I noticed with the two different styles of the singles, you know, you're like, oh, it's not going to, I mean, of course, Black Eyes Blue is a hit. You can hear it. It's got a monster hook.
Right.
But right away you go like, oh, but it's not going to all be that. Look at this over here.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think, especially in this day and age, you need that with rock, you know, because rock is so derided for being flat and lifeless and, you know, and people just loved it. We're a great punching bag these days, you know, and rightly so, because a lot of the bands that are the top rock bands suck shit. They're fucking garbage and I can't fucking stand them. So if you can show a whole different level and dimension to what rock can be and rock should be sometimes, you can get it out of that morose, fucking bum out, depressed side of things and get it more back into like the old school throwback of like, hey, this is a fucking party. This is a celebration. This is something, you know, this is something for you to fucking sing along to in the car and trying to hit all the good notes, or this is something you can dance around your kitchen while you're fucking cooking. Like that, if you can show people that, you can entice people back, you know, and you can show, it's just like, look, you don't have to fucking take yourself seriously all the time. This is supposed to be about enjoyment. And where's the enjoyment when you feel like you're forced to be bummed out all the fucking time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you were doing the track with Tech N9ne, did he record it somewhere else and surprise you with what he put on there?
Yeah, Tech and Bookie both did that. Kid Bookie in London, he was actually the first one to send his in. And it was like, it worked so well that I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I can't even imagine what Tech's going to do, you know? And then Tech sent his, like the second to last day that we were finishing up the originals, right? And when we flew those tracks up and put it in the session, dude, it was so fucking dope. We were all just like sitting back, like, holy shit. It was such a big fucking responsibility, dude, that we didn't even know what to do. We were just like, fuck yeah, dude. It's rad. It's really cool.
And then how did they do the video shoot? Did people just go to where they were?
The director, DJ, he had ties with crews in Kansas City and in London. So the crews there went and filmed Bookie, and then the crew in Kansas City filmed Tech. And what I wanted was to see their side of their town, you know? Like, I didn't want to see, because it'd be so easy for Brooke to just run around and fucking show Parliament and show Big Ben. Exactly, man. He showed a whole side of like North London that maybe nobody really gets to see, you know? And I've had people who actually live in London hit me up and be like, dude, that's right around the fucking corner from my house, and like all this really cool shit. So it was pretty dope. And then Tech, you know, he's up on the roof and shit, and you can see fucking Arrowhead Stadium in the background. Like, it just looked really, really dope, man.
Yeah, it did, man. And Tech had like that outfit on.
Yeah. Oh, he was coming for everybody, dude.
He reminded me of the guy on the Warriors. Can you dig it?
Exactly, dude. So fucking rad.
Cyrus.
Yeah, that's it. Cyrus, yeah.
Cyrus.
Oh, so good.
So obviously no plans to tour, but what are you hearing on the inside amongst managers and venues and 2021, 2022, or is it still nobody knows?
The plan is still to come back. I mean, depending on what fucking happens, obviously, the plan is still to come back next year, you know, like, and really kind of, I know my Slipknot plans anyway start somewhere in like the summer of 21. In that time, I'm trying to figure, I'm gonna do some virtual stuff, some virtual live shows. Looking at doing some of those social distance shows where they have the barricades and the pods. They did something like that in England, and it was incredibly successful, and people actually really, really liked it. So,
I saw it. It was cool.
I'm looking at doing something around here in that vein. I've already had some offers from local promoters in like a couple of different cities to try and work something out. So I'm trying to work that out right now. My band is fucking gagging, dude. They're ready to play. Like, we just want to jam, you know? So, I mean, it's just kind of wait, like watch and wait and kind of see what the fuck happens. But as soon as we can, we're going to fucking get out there and do some shit. So that's, you know, that's the fucking plan anyway.
Come out, host those.
Oh, dude, that'd be dope, man.
Yeah, be out there getting nutty. Just right. Get outside, man.
Yeah, no shit. Just be like, I can't believe we get to play again. You know, just fucking losing our shit.
I'm doing a gig this Friday, my first gig in 6 months, outdoors on the beach.
Wow. How far away are they?
Huntington Beach, and I don't know how far the crowd is, but I'll be able to hear them because a lot of people are doing those drive-in shows, and the lights are in the car and stuff.
I think those only work if you're watching a fucking live stream or something, you know, because then the performers aren't necessarily relying on that feedback. They're just performing, you know, but when you're there and all you hear is, like, what the fuck? I don't know, dude. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it because I'm a whore. I don't know.
It's so rough, man. It's like, It's something that you and I do every day of our lives, and now it's just gone. It's so bizarre.
Dude, I never would have thought that I would see something like this in my lifetime. And we shouldn't have. That's the problem. We should not be here right now. But because certain people only can really feel comfortable in chaos and drama, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
And that's no way to fucking, that's no way to get a country through some shit like this.
No. This is America, man. We shouldn't have any fucking viruses out here.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you look at, I mean, you juxtapose it with the swine flu that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that was 1% of what we're dealing with right now. And that was because the right people were in fucking in office, in control, keeping track, watching shit. Like, it was a blip. Like, nobody even fucking cared.
Yeah. And
now here we are. Like, it's insane, man.
Yeah, well, we got to fucking get out there and vote. That is. Ah,
yes. Yes, we fucking do. And I don't even give a fuck. Like, vote your heart. It's not going to bother me. I don't give a shit. But everybody needs to fucking be in on this, because I don't want anyone saying that this shit was, that shit's fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, man, I got to tell you, there's been some guys I've interviewed over the years that I didn't know pre-interview and became friends with them. And I'm so happy that that happened between you and I. And I just,
yeah, man,
I love you. I love what you do. Slipknot has still been one of the greatest shows I've ever seen live. And your night at the Roxy when I sang AC/DC, you guys were killing it. What was the Clash song you guys played?
Clampdown.
Oh, we did Clampdown. It was so fucking good, dude.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that band, you either do them justice or you shit all over them. So thankfully, we probably had a foot in both.
you guys were killing it that night, thanks, man.
Yeah, that was a fun fucking night, man. That was
a great night, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. And just the fact that it was thrown together for the whole reason that we love music was the spirit of it, you know? Like, there was no drama, there was no bullshit. It was just, let's get a bunch of people together and play a bunch of fucking songs that we love, you know? And there it was.
And what was wild was it kind of turned into that mini tour right while we were eating, like you were getting offers and you were going and doing them.
It was crazy. I was like, I mean, it turned into like what, like five different shows or some shit. And I was just like, they do know that we're just playing covers, right? I mean, this is fucking ridiculous. But it was a blast, man. Like, we had so much fucking fun. It was so rad.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to your lady and the dance crew.
The church. Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. Oh,
they're killing it. Now, is that her spitting the fire?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. She's my red-haired dragon, dude. She's so fucking rad. Like, she's so cool that when she wants to do something new, she just goes out and learns how to do it. You know, she's not like me, where it's like, I wonder what that would be like if I fucking blah, blah, blah. She just goes, I'm doing this. And she just fucking goes for it, dude. She's so motivated and focused. And I just sit back and I go, Jesus. All right. Well, fuck. She's teaching her. She's learning how to fucking, to do whip tricks. Like, with a bull whip, dude. I mean, she's fucking, she's a maniac. Like, she's going for it. It's rad. Yeah.
How did she learn to spitfire?
She learned, she was taught, I want to say, by some people who joined her group later, who were trained in the circus, like properly trained. And then, because Alicia is one of those people that when you hear about the Cherry Bombs, she doesn't want it to just be a dance troupe. It's supposed to be almost like a rock and roll cirque kind of vibe, you know? So you get the dancing, but you also get aerial, you get fire breathing, you get like all of these cool like talent things going on. Like at one of the gigs, she had this girl who had like 7 hula hoops going on at the same time. And it was just like fucking madness. I was like, how do you even do that? You know? But yeah, it's so for her, it's really about the pageantry of it and blended with rock music, heavy metal, like whatever, just that fucking killer music that we all love. Cause we never see that, you know, which is rad, you know? But like I said, I mean, when she wants to do something, man, she will not stop at anything to fucking get it done.
Yeah. They definitely got something very original going on. It's like early days of Lollapalooza with Jim Rose Side Circus. It was just kind of...
But way hotter.
Oh, yeah. They're not freaks or whatever, but what I'm saying is when it comes out, you're like, what is this? And then it grabs you. You're right. Like, whoa, this is incredible.
Yeah. I remember seeing Jim Rose at Lollapalooza just being like, this is fucking dope, dude. Really, really cool. I remember Clown was trying to get something going with Jim for a Knotfest thing a while back, and I don't know what happened with it, but I know he was like trying to get a hold of him to see if they could do something. So yeah, it's rad. That legacy will always be there, you know.
That stuff was next level. And Lollapalooza, just the thought of, you know, multi different types of bands, different things going on, really cool,
dude. That was the mother of them all, really. That was essentially a European festival in America.
Right.
Really for the first time, you know, that because European festivals, they don't know shit about genre, really. They just fucking throw it all together and they put it out there, dude. I can remember we did a gig in, what was it? Helsinki, maybe? It was maybe Finland? No, it was Denmark. It was Roskilde in Denmark. And it was, and we were, Slipknot were replacing David Bowie. Something had happened and he had to pull out of the gig, and it was one of the days we did 2 shows in it one day.
I remember you told me that was nuts. Yeah.
Dude, so on one stage in Europe we had, what was it, it was Meshuggah, The Hives, us, and the Pixies.
Oh my god.
On one stage, dude, that was just one stage. Yeah. I can remember looking at Clown going, this could be the coolest fucking show we've ever been a part of, you know, because I love The Hives. Meshuggah is insane. Like, you're trying to wrap my head around whatever fucking Phrygian time signature they're playing in. I just kind of sit back and I just go, what the fuck ever? And then, of course, the Pixies, dude, are just incredible. To this day, they're still that good. So, but that's a European festival in a nutshell, you know. So Palooza was just kind of borrowing from that and really trying to put it in an Americanized vibe. And that, I think that really inspired so much of the cohesion between different genres and whatnot, starting from the early 90s, you know. And you saw all these mashups and all these cool fucking things coming out. Like, it was rad.
Yeah, you go from like Ice Cube into Ministry, into Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right. Yeah, I think Rollins Band was on that run. Yeah. Fucking, it was dope, dude. That was a great run.
Unreal, man.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to see you soon, man. I think the main thing I miss most is just the hangs.
Yeah. You know?
The hangs are just, there's nothing better than, like, you know, I come to Vegas, do comedy, you show up, and then there's a friend that I don't see every day, and we just, the hang, you know? Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when you come back to Vegas, man, get a hold of us, and we'll fucking, you come over to the house, and we'll do dinner, man. We'll just, and we'll hang, we'll get a bunch of people together. Zach from the band lives in town. Fucking, dude, we'll just talk shit and fucking, like, good shit, like, all night.
Let's do it. Right, we'll go drive the cars too. It's open.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll fucking absolutely do that.
That's what we got to do.
All right, man.
So the record's out October 2nd.
What's October 2nd is called CMFT.
Got it.
Rolls off the tongue.
And congrats, dude. Great. Thanks, great, great songs there. And I can't wait to see you, man.
Yeah, you too, man. Absolutely. Stay safe. All right.